You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. We're going. Hey everyone, welcome to Pure Nintendo's KoopaCast. Yeah. I am your host, Matt, the multimedia manager of PNM and purenintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. And joining me are these four awesome people who will introduce themselves as soon as they answer this question. What is the coolest piece of gaming memorabilia that you own?
Gosh, that's a hard one.
Yeah, that is a tough one. Well, I do have a lot of Nintendo memorabilia behind me. There's an NES Zapper there. Trying to think what the coolest piece of memorabilia is.
Do you have anything cool from like trade shows or?
Yeah, I've got like. I've got a bunch of pins from past E3s and things. I don't know if you can see that, but some Mario, some Star Fox pins. Oh, there's
an Peeling pin.
Kid Icarus, Mario Kart, Luigi, the Hylian Shield. Nintendo usually does these every year in some form or another.
That's cool.
They did the Nintendo Land ones a couple years ago. Yeah, I can't think of anything in particular. I've got Game & Watch Ball, but that was a Club Nintendo reissue, so not an original.
Yeah.
But who are you, by the way?
You what?
I said, who are you, by the way?
You didn't introduce yourself.
Oh, Justin Sharp, of course.
Mm-hmm. And what's your role here, Justin, with Pure Nintendo?
Well, I started the site and, magazine, all that stuff. And I am the editor-in-chief of the magazine, so I edit everything and assemble everything, try and organize everything.
And issue 16 is out soon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I was just finishing assembling it, so it's writing up my editor message right now and getting things ready to go.
Who's next?
I'll go. Hey, I'm Trev, and I'm one of the writers for Pure Nintendo and for PNM Magazine. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my coolest thing is, but I got some cool stuff just in the background here.
Yeah.
That's a box, our OBNES from 1985, and actually complete. It's got a game with a gray zapper, a boxed gyromite, and the ROB does work. You can't really see him. He's over there in the corner. I don't know if you can see him.
Yeah.
And I actually have played it with gyromite, which is kind of, it's cool if you ever get a chance to do it at least once. It's not, the sort of thing that I come back to too often, but it's nice to have. So that's one of the cooler pieces of memorabilia I have. The coolest merchandise I have might not actually be Nintendo related. Mm-hmm. I've got some stuff for some niche platforms that people may not be too familiar with. But I've got some nice original Nintendo stuff, box games, and merchandise like that. That was, that was my original love, basically, that got me into Nintendo. So
nice. Yeah, looks like a good collection.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the other Justin at Pure Nintendo. They kind of refer to me as J Money, my nickname. I'm the assistant editor for PureNintendo.com and PNM. And my coolest piece of merch or memorabilia. I don't really have much memorabilia, but I guess like I've got Pikmin patches that were at E3 last year. Got a full set of those. And this is my favorite piece of Nintendo merchandise. Whoops, just dropped something. Is my giant Super Mario Galaxy Mario. He's got like a stand and stuff, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I just ordered today some Commander video statues from BitTrip Runner.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Nice. I saw that on your Twitter there. That's cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to get those.
Nice. Oh, speaking of statues, I do have some of those here too. There's some newer ones.
I really like that Ganon statue. I really wish I could get my hands on that.
Yeah, the Ganondorf one's fun, and this one was from Club Nintendo. Yeah.
I got one too.
This was a
I got that Club Nintendo one up on the shelf.
I think it was a platinum reward 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
My nephew loves playing with it. I think Yoshi's head is almost about to fall off. So I was like, well, he's not supposed to move, so be careful with it. You know, a little bit, but.
All right, and we're just going to jump right into it. The first item I have that we were going to talk about, if anybody has been keeping up with the gaming news in the last few weeks, especially after GDC, Sony unveiled their Project Morpheus, which is their answer to Oculus's, or I guess now Facebook and Oculus's Oculus Rift, their new VR system. And soon following that, Microsoft was contacted by a few gaming sites asking if they were interested in doing a VR system. They responded, most people were saying yes, they are doing it right now. There's some insider information that says Microsoft is looking up designs right now for VR, but they're not commenting right now. But it's looking like Microsoft's going to showing their history in the past about kind of like following trends. This seems like something Microsoft is probably going to invest in. Now, we kind of sort of got, you know, Nintendo's answer yesterday with their April Fool's thing about their own VR system, virtual U. So we can see how seriously they're considering a virtual thing, a virtual system. But my question to you still is, should Nintendo consider maybe adapting a VR system in the future?
Well, I think Nintendo might be a little wary after the whole Virtual Boy fiasco, but even if that's the way the industry went, was more like virtual reality, VR headsets, whatever, I don't know that Nintendo would necessarily follow that. It might be something that they consider, but Nintendo's always kind of gone their own way, done their own thing, did whatever they wanted to do. So I'm not sure just because the industry's going toward VR that Nintendo might do that. And I'm not sure that's necessarily the right move for Nintendo just because of that fact, is because they're not used to following what the industry does. They kind of do their own thing. But I don't know, it kind of, I guess, remains to be seen, especially with like the sales of the Wii U, how they're still not really all that great. Maybe they may start to try and follow more closely to market trends. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Nintendo, you know, as a rule, tend to be the ones who set the trends. I know, like, it's easy to look at the Wii U and say they were late to jump on with HD or online, but more often than not, it's Nintendo who's establishing trends that others follow. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at, you know, their history, you know, like Jay Money said with, you know, the Virtual Boy, I think maybe. And I don't know how practical that is emulation-wise. I would love to see like some of the VB games get reworked for the 3DS.
Yeah.
And kind of see how people responded to that. I don't know if that's practical or realistic. But that would be something I'd like to see. I don't know. You know, who knows what the future holds? For right now, I think their focus really needs to be almost solely on Wii U. 3DS is, you know, is fine at this point, and it's got, you know, enough support, third party or whatever. But I think, you know, Wii U, focus on that, focus how to use the gamepad more, focus on the here and now, get the install base driven up, and then they can entertain, you know, ideas like that. I guess I would watch and see, you know, what their comments are, because Nintendo will compliment something if they like it. I remember Miyamoto, you guys remember the, what was it, the iToy for the PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that great, but I remember Miyamoto was complimentary of that. He mm-hmm. liked the idea behind it, even though Sony didn't do an awful lot with it. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see, you know, as things develop, you know, if Nintendo has just favorable words, you know, for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting. When I first saw the VR headset for Sony, I don't know. I kind of see the VR thing as a little bit of a fad right now, but you know, maybe in 5 years people will look back and like, "Oh, you are so dumb. It's the future," you know. but I don't know. I see just, you know, Sony's implementation of 3D on the PS3. You know, there are several games that support 3D output on the PS3, even where they've got, I think like Wipeout and some of those games have 3D capability, but it was very, very limited. And I don't know, look at the Move controller that Sony came out as a result of the Wii. I mean, you know, maybe 15% of the games use the support the Move controller, maybe less. I really think like even the VR stuff, I mean, how many games did they really even show off that, you know, could take advantage of it? I don't know. I think until we get to a certain point where it's more immersive, it can track your hands. Like if you're looking around and looking at your body, you know, it could simulate all of that. Right now it's essentially head tracking with a screen attached to your face. And I don't know. As being a Star Trek fan, I'm waiting for the holodeck. So, you know, anything less than the holodeck is just like, that's pretty silly. I don't know. When I was a kid, VR always sounded really cool. But I don't know. I see it almost as it's going to be hard to implement a lot of the games that we enjoy today using it. So.
Well, with like you're saying, it's still like real early. Like mm-hmm. Oculus is no more than a year old or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people, when they try the Oculus, are really like, well, surprised, happy with like what it offers. But mm-hmm. like you're saying, I'm still not quite convinced, because like you're saying, it still seems like the VR that we've had around for 10 years or more, where mm-hmm. basically it's just head tracking.
Yeah.
And right.
Yeah. So far I haven't seen anything that revolutionary with it. It's kind of like 3D movies right now. Remember when they had 3D movies back in the 90s, you know, you had mm-hmm. or even before that, you know, you have your red, blue, 3D glasses and go into a movie. I mean, today's 3D is maybe a little bit better, but they still haven't solved the problem of frame rate or action sequences, you know, creating blurs and nausea and all that stuff. It's just, I don't know. It's just,
it's one thing.
Very beta.
It's one thing to see, you know, if somebody's making a tech demo solely to show off the technology.
Right.
It's a whole other thing to make a game and fine tune it and polish it. And, you know, with a lot of these, you know, not that it's similar things, but they've had, you know, in the past, like the IO glasses that, you know, were to really optimize the games. And, you know, if you've ever experienced them, you know, they'd have cool tech demos. And then you play a game and it's just like, you know, having a TV screen by your eyeball. It's not really, you know, that immersive. So I think that's going to be, you know, the challenge is for a developer, a studio, to say, okay, this is, you know, something you need to, this is the only way to experience it, basically.
Yeah.
I'm going to be completely honest about virtual reality. I'm not sure that I want to play a game with something like that strapped to my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta wonder what the long term detriment is, but.
Well, you get James to test it, and he tests that what was that thing? You had that brain thing.
Yeah,
focus headset.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It would be the pure Nintendo guinea pig.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say he'll be our guinea pig.
Yeah, he won't like that. He'll be like, ah, it's zapping me. Yeah.
Get it off.
Yeah. Yeah, and like so far, like even Oculus is, you know, as promising as people make Oculus out to be, you're like, oh, you have to try it, it's the future, blah blah blah. I mean, you're still, when these people get to play the system, like at PAX Prime last year, they had Oculus there, and there were a bunch of people standing in line to test it. You could only test it for 2 minutes. So these people were standing in line 2 hours, you know, to look at it for 2 minutes. Mostly that time limit was because people would get, you know, nauseated for longer than that. You also can't use it standing up. You know, they only had people using it sitting down, you know, to prevent nausea or people falling over or things like that. I don't know. It just seems like with so many problems, and Nintendo said this in the past, if it doesn't work for over 90% of the people, they're not going to produce it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what they said about the vitality sensor. You know, their results when they were testing it with, you know, whoever they bring in to test their hardware, it just wasn't consistent enough. So if it's not giving consistent feedback or consistent results, then, you know, it's just not viable. So.
And not to get off track, but I wonder if that's why they never like really said anything else about the vitality sensors. They just couldn't get it to work quite right.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like one of those projects where they're like, ah, we probably shouldn't have talked about it, because I'm sure they develop hardware every day that they're testing and playing around with, and only, you know, a handful gets to see the light of day. They're testing and like, oh, hey, this could be the next big thing, or, but, you know,
they're cardboard prototypes.
Yeah, cardboard prototypes, clay, and you know, all this other stuff. I imagine it's kind of like Q's lab from James Bond. So just a bunch of geeks in there playing with different gadgets and things, but.
All right, and we're just gonna move on from virtual reality to virtual console. If everybody looks, tomorrow will be the first day that a series of GBA games will be out on the Wii U's virtual console. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to grab a quick poll of everybody if there's any games that they're just immediately gonna pick up. I believe Metroid Fusion is scheduled for tomorrow, slated for tomorrow. Advance Wars, right?
Advance Wars is tomorrow.
Advance Wars. I think they have F-Zero Maximum Velocity, I think, later
was
in the
it,
month.
Was it Mario and Luigi?
Superstar Saga? Yeah, that's coming out.
Yeah.
So, are any of those ones that you guys are just immediately going to pick up?
I'll probably end up picking up Advance Wars. I never really played much Advance Wars. My brother had it, and I kind of fiddled with it a little bit, but I really enjoyed playing. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll pick it up just so I can actually play through the game.
Yeah, Advance Wars is a lot of fun. I remember the original. I'm still kind of wondering the logic with releasing, you know, the Game Boy Advance games on the Wii U, but I guess they've been kind of bucking that trend because they've had NES games on the 3DS. So why not have a handheld system on a console? I don't know. I just hope they open it up more to the point where it's like, okay, I've already got Metroid Fusion on my 3DS. I shouldn't have to buy it again just to play it on the Wii U. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got the game. Hey, just let me download it on the Wii U as well. And I think that's what, you know, some people complain about with an account system. It's like, hey, if I buy an app on my iPhone, I don't have to rebuy the app on the iPad. If it's a universal app and it's, you know, formatted to run on iPad or iPhone, you just pay for it once and you can download it on the iPad. You know, and that's because of the, you know, inherent baseline operating system. You know, the Wii U and 3DS are very different architectures. So, but I hope that they, you know, unify things a little bit better, because right now it's just very inconsistent. Not only is the Virtual Console inconsistent on releases on the Wii U, but it's also inconsistent as far as platforms. It's like, oh, okay, we'll release a few Super Nintendo titles here. Oh, instead of 64, we're going to jump to Game Boy Advance. You know, the logic is escapes me at times. But
they just seem to be focusing on sprite-based games. I mean, that's as far as, like, yeah. Just the tying edge to all of that. Mm-hmm. Each of the, you know, the GBA, that was technically, like, when it was coming out, it was, like, touted as, like, this is going to be, like, the Super Nintendo, but in your hands. Mm-hmm. So I guess they're just experimenting or just keeping with the sprites first before they're more confident in going to, like, the Polygon stuff. Mm-hmm. Or, like, 64-bit and higher, I guess.
I do think having the Game Boy Advance games on the Wii U, to an extent, I don't think it's going to necessarily bring in new users, but for the people who already have a Wii U and they see, you know, Mario Kart 8 and you know, and then this kind of gap, this drought, it's mm-hmm. something to tide them over. Mm-hmm. You know, realistically, if they were 3DS or Wii U, 9 out of 10 people would probably download it on the 3DS, not just because there's more 3DS owners, but because it makes sense to have a handheld on a handheld. I was kind of hoping, and, you know, this was sort of, I guess, far-fetched, but I was kind of hoping this would have been a chance for them to slowly integrate some kind of a, like, a cross-buy thing. Like, all right, these are only going to be on Wii U, but if you download them on Wii U, you know, pay a buck and we'll let you play it on your 3DS or something like that. You know, I agree with Justin. They really need to get on the ball. On that, because at this stage, now we're in 2014, it's, you know, it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You know, the critics call him out on it, and rightfully so. I mean, I love Nintendo, but I can't defend that. But anyway, to answer your question, Matt, I'll probably pick up Metroid Fusion. I haven't, it's been years since I played that. I used to have that for my Advance. But yeah, I guess, yeah, that'd probably be my only day one. I'm hoping they maybe have some sales once the initial thrill of having Game Boy Advance games, you know, wears off. I hope they have some sales. And I also hope that there's kind of a steady flow of releases because it's really, you know, selection isn't the only concern. It's a lot of times, you know, a week goes by and you get one VC release. Mm-hmm. So I hope, you know, this first month is a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the whole cross-buy thing, I kind of had like the same thoughts as like if you buy it on the Wii, you pay just a tiny bit more and you can play it on another console.
Yeah. Yeah, were any of you guys 3DS ambassadors? You got 3DS no. launch? Or...
No, okay. I was not. I almost actually, I think Walmart broke the price. I think they had the sale price like the day before, and I almost grabbed one. Just so I could get it at like 169 and get the games, but I ended up not doing it. I kind of wish I did.
Yeah, they well, with the Ambassador games, a lot of people don't know it, but they gave you 10 Game Boy Advance games and 10 NES games, I believe. And the 10 Game Boy Advance games weren't even available for other people to buy for the longest time, and some of them may still not be able. I'm not sure, but. But one of those games was Metroid Fusion. So I have Metroid Fusion on the 3DS. I have Superstar Saga on the 3DS.
Oh, wow.
I have F-Zero Maximum Velocity. Like, pretty much all of the launch titles for this Game Boy Advance on Wii U initiative were already released on the Ambassador program for the 3DS. So, I don't know. That's where it kind of gets me. It's like, I'm probably not going to get Metroid Fusion. I love the game, but I did play it just, you know, 2 years ago when I, you know, got on the 3DS. So now if they did eventually do like they have with the Wii U, if you own the game on the Wii U version, you know, is $1 or $1.50, you know, mm-hmm. You know, that's at least a little more compelling, but I don't see myself, you know, getting the games at least at launch, but
Let me ask you, Justin, since you have them, though, does the thought of, because the Ambassador games, they're not like optimized with like restore points or things like that. Is that any draw?
I think they are.
Oh, really?
Let me double check my 3D stream.
Because I didn't think they were set up for like.
What they did was when they originally released, a lot of them didn't have the restore points, but later on they did updates. And on the 3DS, you can go in the settings and you can update your apps or your games. But they updated a lot of them. I know they updated a lot of the NES ones. I'll have to double check here on the Game Boy Advance ones. Here.
Like the NES, I can make sense because then they re-released that to the public. I didn't know with the Game Boy games, since they're just now becoming, you know, available, if they were, how it would be set up.
Yeah. I've got Mario Kart Super Circuit, Metroid Fusion, Mario versus Donkey Kong. So maybe it wasn't Superstar Saga. Yoshi's Island 3, F-Zero Maximum Velocity. Let me load up Metroid Fusion here.
And I don't like how like Nintendo kind of almost pigeonholes himself as far as Virtual Console 2. I know that they kind of want to let people know what's coming. Like, okay, we're going to do Super Nintendo and Game Boy Advance, but I kind of want to see like a whole wide range of different console titles coming, old console titles coming to the Virtual Console.
Yeah.
And they shot themselves in the... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Trevor. Yeah, you're right. It's not optimized. So Metroid Fusion, there's no restore points or anything like that. You hit the home button, it closes the software. But it basically just has essentially one restore point wherever you picked up last in the game. But it's not as big of a deal to me, because most handheld games had a decent way of saving, you know, from the Game Boy Advance and up. Game Boy Color, Game Boy games, you were dealing with still code systems, but anyways.
Just to add to what Jay Money was saying, too, I think Nintendo brought a lot of the Virtual Console grief on themselves, because they set the standards high, because, mm-hmm. you know, when the Wii launched, there was, you know, for the first 3-4 years, there was a steady selection of great games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and they were adding games to even niche stuff, like, you know, mm-hmm. the Commodore 64 in mm-hmm. Japan, the MSX. I mean, there was, mm-hmm. you know, there was too much any given week, you know, mm-hmm. to buy. And then, you know, in 2011 or whatever, slowly kind of faded off. So when you set the standard that high and then mm-hmm. drop as low as they have with the Wii U and... they brought it on themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, they set a precedent that, you know, maybe was too lofty, you know. They set our expectations really high, but hey, anything less than that, you know, that's disappointing. But
well, and even if they could do something like, hey, we're going to have GameCube titles on the Virtual Console, because, yeah. I mean, I missed out on the GameCube completely. I've never played any GameCube games. Mm-hmm. So to have those on a Virtual Console me would be incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like with 64, I mean, the fact that 64 games aren't there is a little silly. It's like, okay, the Wii can handle 64 games. You know, we know the Wii U can do 64 games. Now, mm-hmm. GameCube games may be a little more difficult. You know, that's understandable, I guess, but. You got to be able to do 64 games, and I don't know.
That's true. And if they did release 64, mm-hmm. I mean, who wouldn't take their Wii library and spend a buck or two and transfer the games to play them on the gamepad?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would, just because I would like that, you know, that convenience. It's I don't know, especially when there's such a drought in software, mm-hmm. it just seems like such an ideal way to keep people's interest. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, you've got the what was it, one of the updates added the ability to use the gamepad in the Wii mode, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can play, like, you can play Xenoblade, you know, but you know, part of the problem is you can't use the controls on the gamepad. You're essentially just using it as a screen, mm-hmm. and you've got your, you know, Wii Remote Nunchuck or whatever controller. But, you know, at that point, if they had, you know, with the Wii U, with that transition, I don't know, it just seems like they could have done a little bit more. But, anyways.
I feel like they're at, especially after Wind Waker, the HD re-release, I really feel like there's no excuse for Nintendo not to have some GameCube titles onto the virtual console. Yeah, it might take up much more space on the virtual memory, but that doesn't mean it's not possible for them to, you know, have that or have that option.
Yeah.
The GameCube library is aged good. I mean, it's not even, you know, really that old. I mean, you look at, I mean, look at, like Wind Waker HD, it's a remake of a game that's, you know, honestly was great even without the HD visuals. I mean, it didn't really age that much. And I think there's a lot of strong GameCube software that's like that. And also a lot of people that are interested just because the console by Nintendo standards wasn't as mainstream a hit. You know, there's a lot of people that never experienced, you know, some of the, you know, some of the lesser, not lesser, just, but some of the, you know, in the titles.
All right. And then just moving on to the next topic. We didn't cover this on the last KoopaCast. I kind of feel like we should have. Just talking about the year of Luigi is finally over. And, I, you know, I felt like ignoring him, you know, that just didn't give him his due. I personally am a huge Luigi fan. I don't know about you all, but I definitely support the man in green. Do you all believe that Nintendo handled the year of Luigi fairly well?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, I don't know if you could do it any better. They had lots of great games. They had, I mean, they were consistently promoting it. It was in your face, you know, all the time. So I thought they did a great job. I'd love to see them do more of that, you know, Year of Samus or, you know, something like that. Hopefully Samus, Metroid.
I think they probably, because there was a lot of 3DS games that featured Luigi, and you didn't really see so much of them on the Wii U. I know they did like the Super Luigi U and stuff, and that was really cool. But I thought that maybe they could have done maybe a little more on the Wii U side of things, because you, you know, you had Dark Moon and you had Mario and Luigi Dream Team, and I'm sure there are probably others that escape my brain at the moment, but I definitely think that maybe another Wii U game or something could have done some good. But I think overall Nintendo did a pretty good job. I mean, they had a lot of merchandise that they came out with, like the Year of Luigi coins and the Dark Moon statue on Club Nintendo. That was awesome. I wish I could have got that, but
It was really expensive.
But I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, it was it was decent. I can't say I was blown away, but
yeah,
I definitely think you know, having a themed year, I think it's a good idea. I kind of agree with J Money that I think the Wii U kind of got, you know, the short end of the stick a bit. They did kind of sneak Dr. Luigi in there right at the end.
Oh, right.
But, you know, I think, I guess what I was hoping for never materialized. Like, I know they did have the Luigi 3DS. I was really hoping for a nice green, and it was kind of that white with the, you know, the kind of puke green icons. You know, it was okay. You know, collectors are going to eat it up, but I didn't care for the style myself. But yeah, I definitely, even if, you know, Luigi himself didn't blow me away this year, and I do like Luigi, I think the idea of having a themed year is good, and it kept people talking, and kept people talking in a positive way when there were, you know, some stretches where there wasn't as much positive to talk about. So that's good, and I hope, you know, like Justin was saying, I hope they, you know, revisit that with, you know, hopefully one of their other, you know, iconic characters.
I thought what was interesting about them just making a themed year was that, I mean, not only was there, like, you know, a couple of games out there, you know, starring the character, but the Nintendo kind of ventured a little bit more to the DLC side of things, like with Super Luigi Brothers, and then also like featuring, you know, core Nintendo characters into like an eShop game for the Wii U for like a console, which is what Dr. Luigi was. And it kind of, it seemed like it was a good idea or a good way for Nintendo to just kind of like, you know, break out and try something new without kind of straying too far from like this tried and true formula that they seem to be having with their software titles. So, I mean, if this is how they're going to, you know, treat it on with other characters, I definitely welcome it. I like to see like them, you know, take, you know, main core characters and try out like different kind of styles to them, style like things we wouldn't see before. So.
Mm-hmm. If there was going to be another year, who do you think would be the most likely character to be? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know about the most likely, but I'd like to see them do something like really obscure, like the year of Birdo or the year of Bowser or something.
Yeah.
Birdo might be too taboo with Birdo's origins to a Birdo, a guy, is a girl.
It's Pat. I'm trying to think who they would probably pick. You'd have to almost do someone who could fit in a lot of different franchises.
Yeah.
Or genres of games, you know, like Luigi, he's in the golf games, you know, he's in Mario Kart, you know, he's in a lot of different stuff.
How about Kirby? Kirby's fairly versatile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Kirby they could do.
You know, and he's got a pretty big 3DS game coming up pretty soon, right?
Yeah, and I'm excited about Triple Deluxe. It's looking really good. That's actually just a month from today. May 2nd is when that and Mario Golf comes out.
Oh, Mario Kart's the end of May.
They're coming out the same day? Kirby and Mario Golf?
Yeah, Kirby Triple Deluxe and World 2 are coming out the exact same day.
That's a double deuce.
Yep. I think they're cheaper, too. It seemed like... Even like the prices I saw were like 35 and 30, I think. So they weren't like both like $40 titles. Nintendo's kind of gotten away from that mostly. Maybe Pokemon games have done that consistently, and the Luigi's Mansion, but.
I think I would like to see for a year character. I just want to see them do a Year of Ganon, but tackle it the exact same way they did Year of Luigi.
Uh-huh.
And we just see, you know. Ganon's out there hitting the links.
Yeah.
Doing golf.
Put him in, different things, yeah.
Dr. Ganon.
Super awkward.
Yeah.
He can't quite fit in the cart at all, so he's like got like one foot sticking out of it.
You could do, since they did Link's crossbow training, you could do like Ganon's, you know, set some sort of a playoff of that, kind of like they did with Mario and Dr. Mario. Yeah. You know, some sort of a mini game with him, but. They could do some fun stuff with it. I think a villain would be cool. You know, I think Bowser may be out of the question just because, you know, they've kind of done, you know, he's in a ton of games already, you know. Every year might be year Bowser, but but I feel like you could do Ganon, or you could do you know, Samus or Kirby or some other ancillary character, but
I'd like to see them do Year of Samus just so we can, you know that we're gonna get another Metroid game. Or
something. Yeah, I mean that's what I would go for, but I don't. Maybe they're taking a longer break from it. They took a huge break between Super Metroid and Metroid Prime. I guess they had Metroid Fusion that came out. But that was like the same year as Metroid Prime, or a year before that.
Yeah, they were pretty close, I think.
Yeah, because Game Boy Advance came out in 01. The GameCube came out later that year in 01. Metroid Prime came out in 02, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think Metroid Fusion was maybe 02 or 03. So, yeah, maybe it was the gap between Super Metroid and Metroid Prime, but it was a pretty big one. Hopefully it doesn't completely skip the system, but
maybe if Fusion sells like hotcakes once it becomes available, you know, that'll tell it. Or maybe, you know, with the Miiverse community for it, You know, people will make some nice artwork, some nice posts, and
get
you know,
Nintendo's cage rattled.
Yeah, we know Nintendo looks at, you know, Miiverse, because, I mean, that was kind of the, you know, the catalyst for Earthbound, if, you know, if I'm not mistaken, so.
I'd love it if they did just a Metroid community. Like, I mean, they'll have the Metroid Fusion community, but, you know, they, I think they almost need to have one for, like, for each franchise. You know, have a whole Mario community.
That would be awesome.
They've got the Zelda community. You know, do a whole Metroid community. People would eat that up.
Yeah, they would.
So
I think we should do that. Have it on our site. Have a Metroid community right there.
There we go. I like it. I like it. We can aggregate posts there. And
I think the first forum topic will be somebody who's trying to keep track of, like, how many times I've said, Nintendo, please make another Metroid game.
Yes.
It's got to be at least in the high, like, 30s by now.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to sneak it into all my videos.
They're working on it for you, Matt, the Metroid Mega Man Legends crossover.
Yeah.
So just for you.
That's the dream. That's
The sad thing is we'll probably get like a Metroid pinball or something like that, or, which was a good game.
It wasn't bad. I liked it with the they had the Rumble Pack. You remember that for the DS? Yeah. The original one. I liked that.
So it wouldn't be all bad, but still, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like, hey, here's our new Zelda game. It's a sequel to Link's Crossbow Training. It's like, all right. Or I guess what was the Dynasty Warriors?
Yeah, Hyrule Warriors. That's still in production.
Yeah, which they didn't necessarily say, hey, we're going to show off a trailer for the new Zelda. But I know when people saw that, they're like, what? And then quickly realized, okay, that's not what we expected.
But, well, who knows? I mean, Hyrule Warriors may be a system seller. You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people are desperate for Zelda. You can pretty much stamp, you know, Zelda on anything, and there's going to be a few hundred thousand who eat it up just for name alone. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and just think about when Skyward Sword came out, it wasn't like maybe a couple weeks after, okay, we want the next Zelda now, you know? So it's like, you know, people are going to, you know, pine for it, you know,
yeah,
as soon as they can.
I just really hope that they blow us away with the Zelda on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, really hoping.
Like, I hope it's like a grand scale, like, just, oh, I can't wait.
I'm sure they will, because, I mean, even you think of, like, your least favorite Zelda, and it's still better than,
you
know, 90% of the games ever made.
Yeah.
there's really no bad Zelda, you know.
Well, there's not a bad Zelda for Nintendo system. There you go. That Nintendo's made.
I don't think they acknowledge those as real anymore.
Yeah, the CDI games. Yeah.
You know, not to get off topic, but they're not as they're not as bad as people say. I think, you know, if they didn't have the Zelda name, if it was just like CDI's Adventures in Magic Land, you know, for the library, they're not bad.
Yeah.
You know, not that I'm enamored with them, because I'm not, but, you know, as somebody who's played a lot of CDI games, you know, they're, you know, for the system, they're not bad, you know?
Yeah.
It's a curiosity.
That's what we'll call them from now on, CDI Adventures in Magic Land.
Yeah, I like it. That's what we could call this episode, CDI Adventures in Magic Land.
All right. And, we're just going to kind of close out a little bit with Pokemon Battle Trozei.
Oh, yeah.
I know, Trevor, you're still feeling a little under the weather, but if you're still up to talking about it,
well. Yeah, I'm happy to. I guess it's, you know, when you mentioned that we were going to, and I was thinking about it, I'm like, oh, you know, okay. And I think that kind of says a lot, the fact that I wasn't super excited about talking about it. It wasn't not a bad game by any means. I gave it a 6.5, which is not a bad score. But, you know, from my perspective, and, you know, and I think I said it in the review, I felt like it was sort of a waste of the license. You know, people love Pokemon, and, you know, I think if, you know, you eat, breathe, drink Pokemon, you're going to want that, you know, just to be able to, you know, to see all 700 whatever, you know, there are, but it's a match three game, and I like match three games, but I don't think there's too many people who are sitting home clamoring saying, boy, I hope there's another match three game coming. There's an awful lot of them, you know, and at this stage, when I've played so many, you know, I really want to see something unique, a unique hook. And, you know, in fairness to Pokemon, it did have, you know, some unique aspects with the control and, you know, Pokemon dropping down into the play field and whatnot. But, you know, one of the most telling factors for me, if I review a game, is after I post a review, how quickly do I go back and play the game? If it's a great game, you know, I'll go back to it right away. Yeah. In the case of Pokemon Link Battle or Battle Trezzy, you know, I went back to it when you said that we were going to talk about it. I'm like, all right. not a bad game by any means, but unless you're a rabid fan of both Pokemon and Match 3 games, I think it's a little bit underwhelming, especially I think it's $8. And that's not expensive, but, you know, there's a lot of better 3DS games that you can get for even $2.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty expensive for a Match 3 game, too. You
know, yeah. I mean, I was annoyed. They only had one profile. Like, I went to have my wife play it, and she's like, how do I set up? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, you got to play off me. Yeah. And that kind of told me something, too, because she likes this type of games, but she's not familiar with Pokemon. And she's like, you know, what am I matching up? Because a lot of the premise around it is, you know, you match three and it's going to do damage, but ideally, you know, you want to match the Pokemon that's best suited, you know, to defeat the other one. So mm-hmm. you want to have knowledge of the series, more knowledge than I had. It's best for somebody who's played each entry, you know, religiously. So mm-hmm. It's okay. And I hope the score didn't annoy, you know, Pokemon fans, but, you know, I think if you read the reviews, they're kind of mixed.
Mm-hmm. 6.5 isn't bad, though. I mean, that's kind of average, mm-hmm. more kind of like lower end of average, but people get so hung up on review scores.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we only use the top 50% of review scores. You know, if you do 5 and below, it's like it's not even a, you know, a score anymore now, you know?
Yeah, well, and I usually don't get too low unless a game's like really terrible. I mean, it's got to be pretty bad to score below a 5.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
if Pokemon was called CDI's Match 3 Adventures, I think a lot of critics would have given it an average score. I really think it's, you know, that name kind of, I think, you know, maybe blinds people to the fact, you know, that it's a fairly average game overall. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, for that type of game, a match three game, I definitely wouldn't have shelled out $8 or $9 for it or whatever it costs. Uh-huh. Because, I mean, you can get stuff for free on, you know, your mobile or whatever.
Yeah. There's no online multiplayer either, which I think was kind of a, you know, surprised me too. So.
I expect a lot more from, you know, games that have like a smaller scope to them. I think I reviewed, what was it, the latest in the Mario versus Donkey Kong series, and I may have been a little bit harsh on it, but I had played the previous games in the series, and you know, maybe I had some expectations for it, but I don't know. To me, if you have a solid premise, you can add things like online play, you know, user-generated levels, you know, a lot of replayability with a core engine, you know, with the core gameplay you have in it. So when they don't take advantage of that, when there's like, you know, a small amount of modes or, you know, things like that, it's like, okay, so you're still charging this amount for it. And this goes back to our discussion on price versus review score, but, you know, I don't think it's a big deciding factor in when I score a game, but, you know, it can be, you know, just the value that I'm going to get for it. But
anyway. All right. So just quick closing remark. Is this like, Trevor, is this something you would recommend if it went on sale, like a $3.99 or cheaper?
Oh, sure. I mean, and even now, I might recommend it. Like I said, you know, if you're somebody who just, you know, really loves Pokemon and the thought of, you know, seeing all 700 is mm-hmm. exciting you, then definitely get it, because you know you'll enjoy it. And I really think, in a way, that's Nintendo's target audience. It's kind of narrow. It's really for not just Pokemon fans, but Pokemon enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you're a big fan of them and match three games, you know, definitely do get it. It's not a bad game by any means. It just is, you know, kind of in ways it feels like it's coasting. And you know, like Justin said, with, you know, some of these more iconic characters or licenses, you know, especially from Nintendo, you know, you have higher expectations because, you know, they've raised the bar, you know, in terms of quality, features, options, things like that. So yeah, no, there's definitely an audience for it. It's just, you know, not, it wouldn't be my, I wouldn't rush out to get it if I hadn't, you know, reviewed it.
All right. We did have a, reader question.
Yeah.
We had one this week. It is, should Nintendo still release, oh, sorry. It's from, this is going to have a hard time pronouncing this one.
Lewis.
What's that?
Just say Lewis, right?
Yeah, Lewis. No, I was looking at the Twitter handle. I got thrown out. It's like Lewis and Lou Vision, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Lewis, developer for an upcoming, who's on a Kickstarter right now. But this Lewis asks, should Nintendo release a Wii U gamepad for player two? So should they support two gamepads at once?
Well, since they promised it to us 2 years ago, yes would be the appropriate answer.
Yeah.
Please understand. I would love to see, like, you know, at E3, them really, because even recently they were talking about how they were trying to put more focus on, you know, making the Wii U gamepad a feature, because you know, like games like Donkey Kong, Tropical Freeze don't really, other than off TV play, didn't really use it. And I know some people were critical of that. If Nintendo has ideas that warrant it, I would love to see it. But I think they really need to nail down some good uses just for player one first. I don't know. I hope they surprise us, but I wonder sometimes if, you know, how many ideas they have for the gamepad. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can do some really cool games. I mean, just when I even first saw the gamepad, I mean, you could do some really cool just like card games, or, you know, something where, you know, I have a gamepad over here and I could like manipulate some things up on the screen. You know, maybe I've got a card here, I've got my whole deck, and I could just like, you know, flick cards up on the screen. I mean, you could have like a little, you know, Texas Hold'em, or, you know, whatever game you wanted on there, trading card game, or, you know, now you would be limited to just two of them, but, I don't know. I see there's a lot of potential for it.
I agree with Justin. I think there's a lot of potential there. And I think that, I don't know that Nintendo is short of ideas, because Nintendo always has ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the thing that I'm more sour about as a Nintendo fan is that they actually promise that next year you'll see dual gamepad capability.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's 2 years later and they haven't even said anything. Mm-hmm. They haven't said anything else about it. Not that, you know, last year we did say blah, 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 but we're still working on it. They haven't said a word.
Yeah.
Yep. I'd even be fine if, you know, I don't expect, you know, as high of quality games. Like, I don't expect, you know, two-player, you know, gamepad games plus the TV to play, you know, a 1080p experience with, you know, high-fidelity graphics. You know, they may need to shorten their scope a little bit on it, but I still think you can make compelling, fun games using that. I mean, if you've played Wii Party U or some of these other ones, even Nintendo Land, Wii Party U has some awesome party games, you know, just even like their basic Pictionary game where you have to draw a picture, hand it over to someone else, they draw something. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with that. And Nintendo's the best at doing, you know, living room multiplayer. And I feel it kind of stinks with the gamepad. It's almost kind of restricted that a little bit more. Just in the types of games we've been seeing on the Wii U so far. Now Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, those will help more with that. But anyway.
One thing I kind of expected to see with the Wii U gamepad, and I'm surprised we haven't yet, is, and it actually, there's some parallels when you look at it, is like what Nintendo did with the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance, the connectivity. It was a really good idea that I don't think took off like they hoped, but I think, you know, for a good year or two anyway, there was some really solid experiences that used that. You know, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles or Pac-Man Versus or the Splinter Cell games. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought that, you know, with the Wii U gamepad, this is a great opportunity to kind of take some of those ideas that they weren't really able to exploit then and bring it back now. I know when Wind Waker HD came out, I was shocked that they eliminated the whole Tingle minigame and replaced it with Miiverse bottles, because I'm like, oh, wow, this is an ideal setup. I would like to see some of that. And I know they're not necessarily new ideas, but I think that was a feature that maybe was a little ahead of its time or didn't get to take off like it deserved to. I know I've been saying it all KoopaCast, but I don't know.
Well, and I think that the dual gamepad is kind of one of many different issues that Wii U is having with gaining its footing, is that Nintendo put this all together, like the NFC, and they said that they were coming with dual gamepads, and they just have a lot of cool things that they want to do with it. But like you said earlier, Trevor, they're kind of having issues with just getting it out there initially. But I think if they were to start showing off kind of like these other unique abilities it has, like the NFC and dual gamepads and stuff, people would start to kind of get like, not like under quote unquote understand the Wii U, but kind of see some of the other things it can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point with the, you know, the NFC, because what if they, you know, what do they have, the Pokemon Rumble?
They even said that they're going to have NFC at E3, but because of the dual gamepad promise, I'm like, I'm very skeptical of seeing anything NFC related at E3 this year.
Would that do for cost too, like dual gamepads? I mean, that's something to consider too.
Mm-hmm. Well, they would have to release a price for the gamepad by itself, essentially.
I think before they said they run, well, as far as replacement, they run like about $100.
That's not cheap.
Nintendo even said about the NFC is that they would have multiple proposals for NFC at E3. So it sounded like they would have, you know, not just one title, but
maybe they'll blow us away.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, there's usually a few interesting announcements. So.
Oh yeah, Nintendo always surprises, and we'll, you know, I'm sure in KoopaCast leading up to E3, you know, I'm sure we'll hear just enough to pique our interest, but there will still be 90% that we, you know, is unknown. It's like an iceberg, you know, you got, oh yeah, we're going to talk about this and this. Oh, at E3, here's this whole game you didn't even know about, or, you know, it's like, you wanted us to bring back Kid Icarus or, you know, this, we've got this whole other franchise. And it's like, here it is, Gyromite Battles, or, you know. I mean, regardless, like every E3 I go there and there's some game or franchise where I was like, oh, awesome, cool. And, you know, like Excite Truck. I remember when they first showed off Excite Truck for the Wii, I was like, oh, I remember the Excite Pipe games. I mean, they usually always have some sort of game like that up their sleeve where they're like, oh, no one's expecting this, we haven't talked about it, but oh, here it is, it's coming out in 5 months.
Or like Wii Fit Trainer in Super Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's high time for a Nintendo Direct, though.
Yeah, a lot of people have been like, "Where's our Nintendo Direct?"
Because there wasn't one all March, and it's April now. So, but you know, maybe they're planning on just having one Direct before E3. You know, that kind of leads into E3. So maybe you have it mid late April, and that way it's just about a month until E3. But
all right. Sorry, I just kind of have to cut you off here because we're about to hit the hour here. So.
Yeah, we are.
I'm going to go ahead and thank everybody here for joining me for calling in on the ScubaCast. So Justin, Jay Money, Trevor, thank you very much. Anyone who's listening, thank you for listening in. If you have any questions for our ScubaCast, you can email them to podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also leave comments on our KubaCast post that we put up in advance of our every KubaCast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, each of our Twitter handlers are on our staff profile page, so you can check those out. If you want to take a look at Trev's Pokemon Troze review, that's up on our site as well. And one more thing, of course, this is the last few days on our Around the World of We Fit You in 88 Days contest.
Yeah.
We have two more days before everybody has to turn all their stuff in, midnight Friday, Pacific Standard Time. After that, a week later, our results video will be out, so be on the lookout for that. And that's all my closing statements. So again, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, staff, for coming on and talking about all these Nintendo subjects. Thank you, listeners, for listening in for episode 47 of KubaCast, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
See ya.